Friends with brews?
Peter, I can say this for real now.
Hi, Peter.
You had an imposter?
I don't know what happened, but your mic just totally changed source.
Wow, that was cool. That's awesome. I'm assuming you hear me from my AirPods, and I'm hearing you again from speakers now as opposed to in my AirPods. This is great, Apple. Thank you.
Right, which means that I'm echoing into your mic, and so...
Oh, you're definitely echoing into my mic. I'm sure you are.
This is why I quit using AirPods with podcasting. I don't do it anymore.
Funny that you mentioned that.
I can't hear you now.
Well, how about now?
I think you're still on your AirPods, Mike.
Yeah, I am, but I'm recording from the blue snowball on my side.
Is my voice coming out your speakers or into your ears?
It's gone into my ears where it belongs. Right now, on my side, things are working as intended. So, dear listener, if you ever wanted an inside look at what goes on behind the scenes in a podcast recording, you now have it. You're welcome.
Actually, this is more about behind the scenes in Apple and Bluetooth, because they're shit at it. Wait, I have a bottle. I have a bottle sound.
And we're sorry.
What? Why are we sorry?
We're sorry for giving you, subjecting people to this. They don't need to see this or hear this. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think Apple should be the one apologizing.
I agree. Apple should apologize for this.
Okay, what do you have for drink?
I have two drink.
Hmm.
So I'm going to start with this one first, and it's a couple of reasons. One, it's a Guinness non-alcoholic beer. Now, I don't know what happened. I found this opened with some paper towel stuck in it in my freezer. So I think my girlfriend tried to open it, and okay, it froze because it's non-alcoholic. So I'm not drinking this.
Okay.
Although I did have some of one of this earlier out today, out on the kayak, and it tastes mm-hmm. pretty much like a Guinness, just a little flatter. So my guess is, given that the one she opened on the kayak also kind of exploded and bubbled over, I think that happened to her on this one, and she didn't know what to do with it. She stuffed paper towel in it and then put it in the freezer for some reason. My guess is she opened it right from like when the DoorDash delivery person or the Instacart person brought it, it exploded. And she's like, I don't know what to do with this. Put it in the freezer, forgot about it.
I have a feeling that she's not really from Boston, because if she was, when that thing happened on the, was she on the kayak with you?
She was.
Okay. So when she opened one and it bubbled over, she should have just thrown it in the river. Any Bostonian knows that.
Well, she held it over the river. So at least I was happy that she did that and didn't just let it spray all over the kayak. That was good.
Yeah. You got to fling it into the river, though.
Yeah, well, any good Bostonian would do that. So I'm on the Friends of Brews site, and I'm trying to find my runner-up beer, my second beer, because I have a fallback.
Turn it so I can see it.
Well, I'm trying to see. It's called Barista. I did, and I'm typing B-A-R-I-S-T, and I see no results for Barista.
And it says no results.
So good. This is a first one. This is from Burlington Beer Company. No, sorry. Burlington, it's either Burlington Beer or Burlington Brewing. I forget which one. One's from Vermont, one's from here.
Oh my God. I hate them both. Just, they can all go to hell. I know that one of them has really good beer, but I don't care because they name themselves almost the same thing.
Well, one's in Burlington, Vermont. The other's in Burlington, Mass. So, you know, they both kind of have a claim to it. I think this is Burlington Beer Company. It's the Vermont one. I don't remember right now, and I can't read the freaking label because beer. But hey, it is a double coffee porter, and it's 7.3%.
Okay.
So my plan was to nurse this Guinness thing along for a little while until the 7.3% one got up to temperature. But it's pretty warm here in the studio today, so I'm just going to pop a can. And then pour some. And then I'll just have a taste as this. Now, look at this sucker. Look at the head. Look at the foam on this. You can't see this, dear listener. And I'm sorry you can't, because we don't record this as a video podcast. But it's got a really nice foamy head. So I know Guinness is a stout. This is a porter. But it looks like what I think Guinness wants to be. That's my take.
Right. That is true, yeah. That's what Guinness wants to be when it grows up.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But my guess is Guinness has been around a lot longer than those guys.
Yes, they definitely have. So anyway, Guinness has some reverse catching up to do.
Well, I have something similar to what you're having.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Reuben's Brews Robust Porter.
A Robust Porter. Okay. How robust is it?
I don't know. I'll find out. That was a robust click. It's not bad. It's a little bitter.
Okay.
Robust porter. This one's like 5.9%.
Okay.
And it says 8 malts, coffee and chocolate in the nose. What? A roasty brew with coffee and chocolate in the nose.
So nose, it smells kind of like it's
right. Balanced by a complex caramel malt flavor and a medium full malty mouthful. One of the 5 beers we had on draft the first day we opened.
Okay. So it's a classic.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. So I'm giving you a couple of links. I give you this. This is good. And this is a good. It's no Mochaccino. And supposedly they still make Mochaccino, but I never saw it this year. I'm not happy about that.
I'm not either, because you were going to send me one.
Yeah. It's a distant second. Maybe a third even.
But it's not bad, though.
Oh, it's a good beer.
You still would probably drink that over many other. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Don't get me wrong. But I wish right now, I wish I had like a burger or a steak or a bar of chocolate or something
Some
else.
Chocolate ants, a grasshopper.
You had me, then you lost me. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I got there. Oh, boy. So, is this the part of the show now where we talk about whatever? Oh, wait, that's the whole show.
This is the show.
That's the whole show, isn't it?
Right, where we talk about whatever.
This is the way. Remind me, you do not watch Star Wars, correct? You're not a Star Wars or Star Warsian.
What are you talking about?
Are you a Star
Wars? Why do you say that?
I don't remember. Yeah. I get my friends confused.
I've watched all of them.
Okay, including The Mandalorian?
You think all your friends look the same, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Yes, I have been watching The Mandalorian, but I'm not completely caught up on this season.
Okay, so this is the way, but you're not finished with
this way. This is the way, yeah. I kind of saw some of what's coming because my wife was watching it and she got way ahead of me. So I think I know what happens at the end. I definitely saw a scene in the cavern that they're taking back from whoever.
Yes, from whoever, exactly. Okay, I liked it, but, you know, it was fan service, but it was also definitely hastily thrown together a lot. You know, and you know that even if you're like a third of the way through the season, it's kind of like, that's interesting. So anyway.
Yeah, it seems like maybe they started off with a bigger budget than they wound up with, or I don't know, or maybe they got busy.
Yeah, they definitely got distracted. It certainly seemed like that. So
maybe the writers for that show went on strike before everyone else.
Could have been. They ran out of, you know, force sensitivity or something. So I made a couple of goals for this quarter, which is rapidly coming to a close. I've got, you know, we're 2/3 of the way through the quarter almost.
You sound way too much like work when you start talking about stuff that has to be done by the end of the quarter and reminding me that it's almost over.
But I get done that way. Click. Anyway. So I decided I wanted to get my kitchen cabinets painted, get those redone. And I also wanted to replace my couch, my sofa, because it was falling apart.
And you wanted to start wearing pants.
No, I've been doing that consistently. So I did all that. I reached out to 3 painters. I got 3 quotes. There was one just didn't make a great impression on me, so I didn't really like him. So I was like, next guy.
Was that the lowest bidder?
No, he wasn't actually. Next guy showed up and he was, you know, pretty good, seemed to, you know, understand. He paid attention to detail. He took thorough notes. He had a good looking proposal. I liked it. I asked him if he could do any better on the price though, because like he wanted the part that he wanted to do. So he broke the proposal. They all broke it down into like one part is doing the walls in the living room and the floors, and the other is doing the kitchen cabinets part. And his quote on doing the walls and ceilings was like twice as much as what the other guys wanted. So I was like, well, look, if you give me, you know, a comparable rate on that part of things as to what everyone else is doing for that, you got the business. And he came back with, well, we've got a spring promotion, 10% discount. And that put him down and made him the lowest bidder. So I was like, all right, send me your references and let's go. A couple days went by, no response. I called the office, got his assistant or receptionist or whatever. Sad thing. Yep, just waiting to hear from him. You know, haven't heard back yet. That was more than a week ago now. Haven't heard back.
I don't know what it is about people in the, let's say, home business.
Construction.
Contracting.
Handyman.
They're the
repairs.
Worst at communication. It's like they don't
Plumbers,
understand that words have to be exchanged. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they have a reputation, and I don't get it. I'm like, dude, he's got assistants. You know, he's got other people. So it's like, it's not like he should have a hard time unless he completely fabricated those references, but
maybe.
Anyway, so I reached out to the second one now. We'll see what he has to say. But anyway, yeah, so finding a painter is kind of, it's proving to be kind of frustrating right now. So there you go. You know what else has been frustrating? My AirPod Pro, the right one, the tip, the replaceable, you know, I use the foam, the Comply tips, the replaceable thing there. Yeah. They keep getting stuck in my ear. When I go to pull the AirPod out of my ear, it leaves the foam tip behind in my ear.
Wow.
It's like it's wearing down or something, and I can't tell.
Those Comply ones must... I thought I had Comply ones before, and I thought they snapped on pretty well, but I don't think the Apple ones would come off like that. The Apple ones, you have to twist pretty good to get them off.
I broke the other day, I was cleaning my girlfriend's, and they were stuck on so hard that when I pulled the rubber, you know, the silicone portion out, it ripped, leaving the plastic part still stuck. So, which is the opposite of the problem that I was having. So, anyway, I did note that a friend of the show, Adam Bell, ordered up his AirPods Pro second generation. And then I just noticed that, again, they are on sale now on Memorial Day, which is, you know, one of the biggest sales events, you know, around Black Friday. They were on sale for $200 at Amazon. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. I got to Amazon. They're there. And they're like, or you can have a new in-box version for $180 or something. I was like, sure, I'll take that. Fine, because I can still get Apple Care for it. Great. Don't care.
Yeah.
Ordered it. And then I thought, I wonder if Best Buy has any open box ones. And I looked there, and sure enough, $5 cheaper. Best Buy has them. Same thing, new open box or refurbished.
$5 cheaper.
So $5. I was like, sure, cancel the order on Amazon, order from Best Buy, because it was the same day to arrive and everything.
And you can still get Apple Care on these, I would assume.
I can still get Apple Care on them. Although, now that I just thought about it, wait a minute, I get 5% back with Amazon on my Amazon Visa card.
See, you just shot yourself in the foot. You got the wrong five.
See, now I got to kill it and reorder it again. Darn it all. All right. Sorry, dear listener. Please stand by while I cancel an order. Brother. Okay. Over to you, Scott. this is what happens when you try to nickel and dime yourself to death. That's what I'm doing.
Right. That's why I don't do it. Now, as you can see, I'm clicking buttons in the background because I'm running tests for work, and then I'm also helping these guys who apparently managed to kill a server last night, and this particular server isn't imaged by me. It's imaged by the vendor, so they've got to come up with a new one, and they've got to reimage it themselves, and they've got to do all that. So
question, is that setup that I see in the background blurred, is that your work setup? And you have your your work office on, or work on one desk and personal on the other desk?
Yeah, those are the ones I was telling you. Those are 1080p. Those are my old at-work monitors, and I brought them home, and then they bought me not the UXH, but whatever the in-between is, the 2K or whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are at work, but these are,
Got it.
Nowhere near as nice as using my Mac, but a hell of a lot better than just staring at my work laptop sitting on a desk.
Got it. Okay. All right, then.
Especially because when we remote into servers, you can't see because for some reason FaceTime is blurring it. The displays are so huge that when I try to look at them on my laptop, I'm panning all over the place and I still can't see some of the stuff I need to see.
I wanted to ask you, because I couldn't figure out how to do it on purpose. How do you tell FaceTime to blur it? Is that the little in the picture-in-picture view, the little icon in the bottom? Is that how you do that? Is that how you turn that on? Yeah, that's
how you
blur
it. I think
it.
The way it's happening for me is I'm using my iPhone as the camera. And if you go to the system settings, but you know up in the menu bar, there's those little dials next to the date, whatever those are. It brings up Control Center or whatever it's called. Video effects are what do that. So I can turn off this portrait. There, that sharpened it up, right?
Yes. Yep. But what about me? Is my background blurred now?
Your background is still blurred, yeah. It already was.
What about now?
Now it's not.
Okay, because if you look at the picture in picture in of yourself, there's a little person icon in the bottom right corner of that. That's all I'm clicking. That turns the blur on and off.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's FaceTime's control. But mine was happening automatically through my iPhone being the camera.
Got it.
And it was just like every time I put it on, even if I turn off that portrait setting, it just automatically does it. I don't know why. Anyway.
Okay, then. Well, there you go.
Now we know.
Now we know. And knowing is half the battle. Hey, so another thing that I ordered in addition to those. Oh, and I can't. So I plan, I guess my plan will be to keep my regular, my first gen AirPods. Those will be like my computer pair. So they will always sit here at the desk. And then my second gen with the better noise canceling and stuff will travel with me.
Oh, you turned off. You don't want them to switch automatically anymore. I heard you telling Adam to turn that off, but do you have that turned off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It will connect to whatever it connected to last. That's all I've got to
say. The reason I don't have that turned off is because even with that turned on, they've never automatically connected to my Mac anyway. I've always had to tell them to connect to the Mac.
Huh.
And so I don't have to worry about them switching from a phone to the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, what I do have to worry about is if I am on a phone call on the iPhone, I have to remember not to do anything on my iPad or they will switch over to the iPad.
Right.
They switch really well between iOS devices, but on the Mac just sits around waiting. And I have the utility, what's it called? Oh, AirBuddy. I have AirBuddy on. So when they get close, it shows a big thing. And it also lets me single-click connect and single-click disconnect those.
Okay, related, but that's not exactly what I was looking for. That's not what I was talking about. I mean, just physically, I will leave this pair sitting here at my desk.
Yeah. Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
But it made me think that maybe your use case was you don't have auto-switching enabled.
I do not have auto-switching enabled. But I could also, could I not just unpair? Is it possible for me to unpair those pros from my iOS devices? But is that, will that automatically unpair it from everything?
Yeah, I think it'll unpair it from everything because I think it puts those in the cloud.
It's iCloud thing. Yeah, it probably will.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, you can't win. Whatever.
I can't win. That's for sure.
So I'll give you an update on Notion. I have been using it as my new note-taking platform. So like whenever I go to take a new note, I'll either do it in Notion or in Apple Notes if I want to use by hand.
Peter, take a note.
I will, but not right now. But I'm not making anything new in Evernote right now. One thing I did see is while Notion makes it trivial to import everything from Evernote into Notion, not at all surprising, there is no easy way to go from Notion to Evernote.
Sure. Yeah, not surprising.
Not surprising, you know, because Notion is like, hey, we're new, we're innovative.
Right. What's that Evernote thing?
Evernote. And Evernote is just like, huh? Import? What?
Import. What?
Yeah, which is one of the reasons I want to get away from them. It's just like they're not forward thinking. Are they even thinking? I don't know if they're backward thinking.
No, I don't think they're thinking at all. I don't think they're doing good on purpose, and I don't think they're doing anything on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, if anyone out there has done that, I'd be curious. Not that I'm hoping that won't be necessary, but you know, I've given myself.
Here's what I'm thinking. You're going to change from Evernote anyway.
Probably.
You're importing stuff into Notion, which uses Markdown, right?
Yes.
It formats, it basically takes stuff and there is Markdown behind the scenes, right?
I believe that is correct.
Okay. So instead of worrying about going from Notion back to Evernote.
Go from Notion to something else like Obsidian or something, or yeah, or even Apple Notes or whatever, right?
Exactly. Which should be, yeah. Which if you do decide on going from Notion to Apple Notes, that's probably going to be painful too.
Yeah, it is painful. I don't know why I put myself through these things.
Well, you have to. You have to have a notes thing. You have to have an eBrain.
Been on Evernote since 2008.
Yeah, but eventually it's going to go away. And even if it doesn't, Peter, these new ones like Notion and Obsidian, they have so much more functionality and plugins. Like you said, the only single thing that I can think of that Evernote is superior at is the
scanner.
Yeah, the text, getting text out of PDFs and stuff.
Yeah, OCR. Yeah, that's OCR.
So that's where it really is superior. So mm-hmm. The scanner thing, I have a PDF app from whatever those guys in the Ukraine are. I have got their app and it scans stuff really well. And I also have a couple other apps. I don't care about the scanner as much. Would it be nice? Sure, but whatever. But if I'm not using Evernote anyway, who cares about the... But yeah, none of the other note takers have built-in scanners like Evernote did.
Right. And I still have the Scannable app installed on my iPhone, and I still use that every now and then. But most of the time, if I want to scan something, it would be scanning to Evernote. So I just use the built-in Evernote scanner, which is functionally pretty much the same. It's just that scannable, I can still use the send sheet or the, what's it called? The
share sheet, yeah.
Yeah, but there, it's got an actual note. Merlin Mann pointed it out, told Syracusa, the Sharo. That's it, the Sharo.
Oh, Sharo.
Yes. Yeah. It's got a Sharo, so you can send it to, you know, something else if you want to, which is nice too. So scannable, I might keep that even after I eventually ditch Evernote. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything bad about Merlin Mann. So I'm going to change the subject completely now and just say there's a podcaster that I can't listen to because he is too... There's something wrong with that guy's brain. He's too all over the place.
Have you thought about using Whisper or some sort of technology to filter out a podcast host that you can't stand so that you could just hear John Syracusa and just his side of the whole podcast?
I don't know how that would be possible.
I'm sure with voice recognition, you could tune something to say, this is the name of the person that you don't like, whom I've previously stated, and don't, you know, whenever you hear this, just tune it out and just do Syracusa and then strip silences.
If you hear a guy making jokes that are kind of funny and then laughing ridiculously at his own jokes for 3 or 4 minutes, tune that guy out.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure AI could do that.
I'm sure it could.
So, painters in Evernote, painters in Notion, Notion in Evernote, and painters, oh my, and my AirPods.
Painters, okay. Oh, so you're keeping track of your painters with these, I see.
Well, no, I'm just... I'm keeping track of things that we're talking about. I'm writing your show notes for you.
Oh.
I also bought a new wallet.
I saw that, but tell the listener. And if I remember correctly, I will put that picture in the show notes.
It's a nice little wallet. It's the Hawanic Genuine Leather Slim something something AirTag wallet.
I have a feeling you can substitute that name Hawanic with 20 other names.
Probably. It is pleasantly genuine leather. It really is leather, so it's not a, you know, fake leather kind of knockoff. And it's just got this little clip-in pocket that you can slip the AirTag into. It's very nice and slim, which I really like. The AirTag doesn't make it a lot fatter. And what I had been using was a wallet with a keychain attachment and another AirTag pouch on top of that. And it just was becoming, it was bulky. It was nice at first, but having to pull it out of my pocket all the time, it would get caught on something. And so I finally ditched that. So I'm very happy that I now have a slim, genuine leather, brown AirTag wallet. It holds my 3 credit cards, my driver's license, and cash. And that's all I need a wallet to do. And the AirTag.
This one's not an RFID blocker.
This one is not a RFID blocker now.
Right. Which I would like. I wish they would combine those two.
I looked around at that and I was just like, I don't know. Part of me feels like I should be more concerned about that. Where I do use an RFID blocker is on my passport.
Yeah.
Because I think there's more of a chance of somebody trying to target an American citizen, you know, with a, you know, when I'm traveling abroad than there is someone trying to. You know, scam my credit cards or whatever, which I can...
Just in case you're headed for a secret meeting with Snowden or something.
Something like that.
So while you were saying maybe I should care about that more, I was thinking maybe I should care about that less, you know, for as far as the wallet goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure, it's possible. We've definitely seen hacks out there where, you know, people can like scan this and scan that. But I don't even know, I've got my cards that have tap to pay enable, and that's RFID, right? Those are RFID chips? Yeah.
It's NFC, so it would be...
Yeah, we know it's NFC.
Is NFC RFID? NFC is a subset of RFID.
Okay. So that sounds like a yes. So theoretically, someone could get my credit card info by doing that.
Yeah, and the bad thing, the stupid thing is that in the United States of America, generally, not all, but many of our cards... I still have the old Stripe as well as the RFID, which is kind of stupid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen a card that doesn't have that yet.
Oh, well, if you ever get the physical Apple card, it won't have one. And if you ever get, and I think I have a credit card from a different bank that also now stopped putting the magnetic stripe on it.
Okay, I'm not there yet.
By the way, speaking of NFC and RFID and Apple cards, It's really funny to me that a lot of the stores that were holdouts to not use Apple Pay because they were going to be part of that currency competing. Well, I say competing. It was a freaking, what do you call those, QR codes?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they've all given up. And finally, the grocery store that I go to the most now they accept Apple Pay. It works just fine with the watch now.
The only places I see that don't accept Apple Pay don't take tap and go payments.
Right.
You know, they're like still like, oh yeah, we take credit cards, but we have to slide it. And I was like, aren't you paying more in fees from the credit card companies now than it would be to just update your stupid hardware?
Is that true? But they still pay credit card fees. I would be amazed, Peter, if the credit card companies were like, you know what, let's make them pay less fees if they use these others. I doubt it. It's kind of like anything else in life. It's kind of like property taxes. You think they're ever going to lower them? No.
No, but I would think, but no, that's not what I said, Scott. I said they would pay more fees if they're not using those. That's not, functionally it may equate to that, but that's not the same. If I say you right now on your old equipment, you're paying 5%. If you put in my new hardware, which you have to pay for, you will pay 5%. If you stay on this old crappy hardware, you will pay 10%. That's what I'm saying. That's not the same.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're saying that eventually they're going to penalize people from
That's because the Home Depot breach, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I thought that you had to upgrade to modern hardware or you would be paying more fees. I may be completely hallucinating like an AI and making that up, but I thought that was the case.
Well, obviously it happened before 2021 or you wouldn't know about it.
As an AI language model, as a generative AI, I don't know anything that happened. My knowledge cuts off before September 2021.
I showed you that fight I was having with ChatGPT over Xcode versions, right? And it kept insisting, and I kept saying, no, no, this version was introduced in 2023 and it has this version of Swift. And they're saying, you are absolutely correct. This version of Xcode was introduced in 2021 and has this older version.
Yes.
It's like, you box of rocks, just take my word for it.
Yep. No, don't. I can't believe you. So I forget now. I'm trying to decide, is it worth, should I kill my ChatGPT Plus subscription at this point? Can I get everything I need out of Bing and Google?
I don't know. Here's what I'm wondering. Does ChatGPT Plus let you use add-ons?
Lets you use plugins, they say.
That's what I mean, I guess. Like, for example, there's a Wolfram Alpha plugin supposedly for ChatGPT so that if you ask it math questions, now it'll actually know math because it's consulting a source of information, a repository of actual math knowledge.
Huh.
So if you have use cases like that and you want to use plugins that you can only use with that account, you might look into that first before you make up your mind. See what's out there. See what you want to get more accuracy from and see if there's a plugin or a source that does that and then decide if you want to pay for it or not. Other than that, I would say cancel it.
Yeah. So they now do plugins, but the only one that I've seen work is the one where it searches the web. And more than half the times when I try to use it, it doesn't, it's like, I'm loading this page. Oh, I failed. And it doesn't work. So what I'm wondering is, and there are supposed to be more plugins too. There's supposed to be more plugins.
For that use case, you can do something similar to what Vitici did for SGPT and just write a script that downloads the friggin' page and shoves the contents to ChatGPT and says, summarize this, instead of giving it the URL. You know what I mean? You can do that yourself.
Right.
You can write a script that will do exactly what Vitici did.
Or I could just use...
Or you can use his SGPT.
Bing or Bard.
Well, the reason I say that is because on Safari on the Mac, for some reason, whatever it passes to shortcuts, it's not a proper URL. It doesn't, I don't know what it is passing, but Safari on the Mac can't pass stuff to shortcuts correctly. So if a shortcut relies on a URL, forget it. It's not going to work. There's so many bugs on shortcuts on the Mac. It also just, it throws an error, but then I don't see the actual error until the next time I run shortcuts. It's so bizarre. Anyway, shortcuts on the Mac needs help. And I'm really hoping that Apple gives it some good quality of life bug fix updates with the next version of macOS, since they seem insistent upon the model of only really fixing bugs with every software release, which is only annual. I hate that. Just push some freaking bug fixes to me anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
Mm-hmm. So what is the, I forget which, Bing has three modes, creative, balanced, and precise. And I thought one of them is supposed to be like GPT-4, one is GPT-3.5.
Is it, or is it just the weighting that they used?
Somebody said that they were.
Even with ChatGPT 3.5, I know that you can change that. There's a slider for that.
That's where I don't understand. Someone told me that I think maybe it's just the temperature. Is that the, you know, the temperature setting?
I think it's the temperature
setting,
yeah. That's right. And by the way, when I made your fake alter ego for last episode, to get it to have any variation in tone whatsoever, I had to slide the variability thing almost, I had to slide it to the left until it said 30%. And even then, it would start off with some variability, and it might end with some, but in the middle, it would go monotone again.
Huh.
It's just, to get ChatGPT voice to have anything resembling inflection of any kind is a struggle. It wants to be very monotone.
But you're talking that, but that's 11 labs, though, not ChatGPT.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. You're
just
right.
Making sure. That's like when I say Siri, but I don't mean dictation.
Yeah. For some of those, what I was doing was putting a question into ChatGPT and then taking the answer and having 11 labs say the answer.
There you go. Oh boy. Woof. I'm feeling my 7 point.
I am too, which is really bad because I've got at least 12 hours more testing to do today.
Woof.
Hmm. It's going to be a long day. I got a lot to get done and I haven't been getting it done.
Well, I migrated all of my HBO Max to Max today.
Yes. Tell me about that because, okay, how do you watch that? Because everything I've heard about the Max app on every platform is that the Max app is the worst. It's horrible.
I heard only on, well, so far I have not watched anything. I started watching something and then I got your text about, hey, you want a podcast today? And I stopped watching it. I just heard on one podcast that the app is better. That's all the feedback I can give you right now. I have to actually go sit down and watch something to make a decision. I didn't actually use it yet.
What device are you using this app on? Apple TV or something else?
I've installed it on my Apple TV and on my iPhone, but I haven't actually watched anything on the iPhone yet. So this is on the Apple TV.
All right. I'll be curious.
And then for some reason, after I started, I opened up HBO Max. It's like, hey, you need to install Max. Do you want to download it? I said, yes. And at the same time, I was trying to download it on my iPhone and I was getting pop-ups and confirm download, confirm purchase for both devices on my phone. Cause the Apple TV was like, do you want to confirm your purchase on your, you know, confirm this download on your other Apple device? And I was like, yes. So I was like, yes, install. And then I got another yes, install. And then,
right. And then
I was like, okay, I think that's done. It all settled down. And then Apple TV on the Apple TV said, do you want to link this to your Apple TV account or something like that? And I was like, I'm already logged in. I was literally about to start watching something.
No, it said, do you want to link it? Do you want to link it to Apple TV app is what it's asking.
App.
Yeah, it's asking. So when you go into the Apple TV app, it's asking, do you want to show up next? Do you want to see that stuff in there? And the answer should be yes, you do want to.
So when I open my hardware Apple TV, if I want to watch HBO Max, I can open the Apple TV app to watch HBO Max.
That is right. It'll show you where you've left off and it'll say up next.
Does that feel at all recursive to you? So is the idea that my Netflix, my Amazon Prime Video and all that would be in one app?
Right. You have one place that shows you, oh, up next. Oh, you were watching this episode in Amazon. Oh, you were watching this episode in Hulu. Oh, you were watching this episode in Max. You can resume any of those from right here. That's the idea. The only non-player that I know of is Netflix.
Is that right here that you speak of the home screen on my Apple TV?
No.
It's the Apple TV app.
No, it's the Apple TV. Yeah, which it tends to go into anyway all by itself, even when you don't want it to.
Right. So that part, that's where you lost me. If it was just like, I've opened up my Apple TV and I'm at the home screen, here's your up next, here's your continue watching. And by the way, it was in HBO or Netflix or YouTube and you don't have to worry about it. That makes sense. But having to open the Apple TV and then open the Apple TV app to try to remember what I was watching in HBO seems a little recursive.
You could just leave the Apple TV app running and then you won't have that problem.
I could.
Let that be your home screen.
Okay, am I the only one? Is it the beer that I'm drinking that thinks it's funny that you go to your Apple TV physical hardware device, you go to Apple TV and you want to watch HBO Max, but you go to Apple TV to watch HBO Max?
The Apple TV app isn't just about the Apple TV Plus content. It's about anything on your Apple TV and also Apple TV Plus content.
Got it.
It's trying to be a cohesive everything in one.
I understand that.
The only non-player that I know of is Netflix.
And had I designed it, I would have brought it back one level of indirection higher so that the home screen is that central place and that you didn't have to go into an app.
But then if you didn't want to watch those things and you wanted to use some other app, you'd have to exit out of it to get to the other apps.
No, your home screen would say, here's your Netflix if you want it. Here's your HBO if you want it. Here's your Apple TV if you want it.
It doesn't do it that way. It doesn't break it down that way. It shows it by show.
Okay. My home screen on my Apple TV shows my apps.
Right. What I'm saying is, if you wanted what was in the Apple TV app on your home screen, it doesn't break it down by source. It breaks it down by show.
But I don't want what was in an app on my home screen. That's my point. I want to say, like, whatever I was watching, give me that as a home screen.
That's exactly, we are talking about the same thing. But the way you said it was, here's what's in your Amazon, here's what's in your, it doesn't say that. It says, you were watching this show, watch it. It doesn't tell you where it's from, and it doesn't care where it's from.
Okay, so I don't have to go into my Apple TV app to actually watch HBO.
You do if you, okay, but that's Peter, not let's what talk I about want. Skin someday. After you haven't been drinking beer, because you're totally not following.
Well, maybe you want to reconsider the name of this podcast. Wait, we already did. Let me go get a coffee.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Anyway, no, hard right turn.
We'll talk about this again. It makes sense. It's just...
it's not my fault I'm a lightweight, and you knew that. I warned you.
No. It's fine. You should be a lightweight. If you weren't a lightweight, you would have a problem.
I'd be an alcoholic.
That's right.
Since the new Bing requires you to use the Edge browser, that is now my purpose browser on the Macintosh. So I stopped using the Edge browser a while ago because it was like breaking things and doing stuff and trying to be just like smarter than it really is. And I went back to, slightly begrudgingly, Google Chrome as my default because I need profiles and Safari doesn't support profiles. So I need to be able to open this group over here as this Google account and this over here. I have four Google accounts that I use regularly.
I understand that.
And the ability to break those all up into separate windows is very useful. It's either that or I run Opera, Firefox, Google, Bing, Safari.
Let me ask you, what are these Google accounts doing for you?
They're different clients. And there's Paradigm, there's Personal, there's client number one, there's client number two, and client number three.
But what is inside of those that's different?
Gmail, Docs, calendars, all the Google G Suite stuff.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. There's an actual use case. So Edge has now become my AI thing. But anyway, so my Edge now opens up three tabs and a ChatGPT prompt. So that's my AI center.
Mm. See, I don't like the OpenAI website experience. I know that you want all your history in one place, so you have no choice, basically.
What I don't like is I've gone to my settings. I've gone to beta features. Okay, browse with Bing, sure. Plugins, sure. Data controls. Export data. Export. Your account details and conversations will be included in the export. The data will be sent to your registered email in a downloadable file. Processing may take some time. You'll be notified when it's ready. Proceed. Confirm export below. Confirm export. This is at least the fifth time that I've done this, and it has been weeks since I first did it. I have not been notified when my data would be ready, and you know what? I don't have that much data.
Are you sure your email is valid?
Yeah, because I get their status notifications telling me all kinds of things like, hey, OpenAI, you signed in, or hey, we're having some users can't see their history. Oh, hey, history issues are fixed. I subscribe to their uptime and availability thing, and it's the same email address. So yeah. And I know it's not in my junk folder because I've been having to go into my junk folder a lot lately because a lot of stuff has been slipping through.
Well, Peter, Sam Altman's too busy scanning people's irises to send you your history. I'm sorry.
Which gets me to maybe the... oh, wait a minute. Guess what I just... Sorry. I was going to go to the main topic. I was going to ask you, so what's the verdict on Sam Altman? Is he evil or do we like him? But wait, before that, I have to read this email that I just went into. I just went into my junk folder and I see this subject line. Your account is hacked. Your data is stolen. Learn how to regain access.
Nice. Very informative. I like that.
Hi, I am a hacker and I have successfully gained access to your operating system. I also have full access to your account. I have been watching you for a few months now. The fact that your computer has been infected with malware through an adult site that you visited.
Of course.
If you are not familiar with this, I will explain. The Trojan virus gives me full access and control over a computer or other device. This means that I can see everything on your screen, turn on the camera and microphone, but you do not know about it. Wait, hold on. You just told me. I know now. Sorry, that was
me. Yeah, you blew your cover, bastard.
Dude, you're exposed. I also have access to all your contacts and all your correspondence. Why did your antivirus not detect malware?
Oh, after you said I have access to all your correspondence and I heard the word aunt, I thought you were going to start talking about why did your aunt call you to talk about blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man, this is great. Why did your antivirus not detect malware? Question mark. New line. Answer, colon. It didn't say question first. Come on, guys. Up your game. Answer. The malware I used is driver-based. I update its signatures every 4 hours. Hence, your antivirus is unable to detect its presence. And I would like to say, props to Mr. Hacker. Its presence. Its. No apostrophe. Good on you.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, this makes me want to jump ahead and pay him some Bitcoin right now. But anyway.
And he's also apparently an excellent driver, like Rain Man slow in the driveway on Saturdays.
I made a video showing how you satisfy yourself in the left half of the screen. And then the right half shows the video you are watching at the time.
Peter tried to satisfy himself in the right half of the screen, but he just couldn't do it.
Nope. With one mouse click, I can send this video to all your emails and contacts on your social networks. What, all two of them? I can also make public all your email correspondence and chat history on the messengers that you use. If you don't want this to happen, transfer $1,490 in Bitcoin equivalent to my Bitcoin address.
Why 1490?
I'll ask him. If you do not know how to do this, just search... quote, buy Bitcoin, close quote, on Google. Helpful. My Bitcoin address is Bitcoin BTC wallet in parentheses. And he gives the wallet, which means we can track him down, right? After confirming your payment, I will delete this video immediately. And that's it. You will never hear from me again. I will give you 50 hours.
Peter, this is a bargain.
More than 2 days to pay. I will get a notice when you open this email and the timer will start. Filing a complaint somewhere does not make sense because this email cannot be tracked like my Bitcoin address.
Wait, Peter, is it 50 hours, comma, more than 2 days, or is it 50 hours more than 2 days?
50 hours, parentheses, more than 2 days, close parentheses.
Oh, okay.
Wait. Last, we're almost done here. I never make any mistakes.
No, never.
If I find you have shared this message with someone else, the video will be immediately distributed.
Peter,
best regards.
You just scared me.
Best regards! Exclamation
point. This guy's a podcast listener. You just screwed yourself.
Oh no! But now, I mean, the thing is, though, is if I reply, this email was spoofed. This came from peter@nikolaitis.com.
Oh my god! You're extorting yourself.
But I have DMARC and SPF set up, so this tells me that that Fastmail has a loophole.
Hey, are you sure this wasn't from Neater Picolitis?
No, it says it's from So, but this tells me that I think Fastmail might have a configuration problem because I've been drinking. But
is that
believe...
the actual headers or is that just the return address? Because the return address can be anything.
Yeah, let me go. Thank you for reminding me of that. Let's go into view message raw source. Received by mail x.ny.internal receipt to dude. it is hard for me to process raw HTML when I'm drunk.
That's why HTML was written, so that people wouldn't get drunk anymore.
Oh, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
HTML was an effort on sobriety?
Yeah.
Oof, wow.
It came out of Alcoholics Anonymous. They had the first website. Didn't you know this? ChatGPT told me.
It came from compute5.nyi.internal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at that. Spam. No DKIM or SPF. Likely forged. You think? So, all right, great. Well, there you go. Yeah, so I see the IP address that it talked to, and that was enough that Fastmail was like, yeah, this looks like spam. But I would think that this wouldn't have even gotten to me. Wow, Mailer. Pegasus Mail for Windows.
Ooh, that's old.
That's a deep cut. I have not. It's been a long time. Anyway, dear hacker, I'm really sorry. Do me a favor. Look, tell you what. Send me the videos, and if they're any good, I will pay you $2,800 in Bitcoin. That's almost twice as much, okay? So that's my offer.
I don't want to see... No, don't send them to me, hacker. I don't want to see Peter satisfying himself on the left side of the screen, on the right side of the screen, in the middle of the screen.
I didn't say send them to Scott. I said send them to me. And obviously, they know... You know my email address, because that's my email address.
Although, with my window management program, I could probably put it in any side of the screen I want. It doesn't have to be the left side.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Wow, that's awesome. I found some junk, though. I did find, I got a junk email from Strava while I was in here. So I got to unjunk that one. That one's useful.
You're going down the hole of the rabbit, Peter.
Yeah, I do that. That's why I generally try not to multitask while I'm recording a show, but I'm drunk, so hey.
Hey, I have a question. So do you really want to know about Sam Altman?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as simple as he's good and evil. I'm sure that he thinks he's good.
Okay, but we think that Elon...
Because he's involved in WorldCoin, and they think they're doing the world good by providing the largest identity and financial network as a public utility, giving ownership to everyone. Probably the least of the world's problems right now, but hey, what do I know? Why do these guys always find the solutions to the world's problems online? If it's not online, screw it. So forget about climate change, forget about water, forget about drought, forget about famine, forget about all these things that actually are happening. Let's build something online because that's what's good for humanity. This is the type of thing that drives me insane.
Yes, it does. But remind me, have you or have you not watched Silicon Valley?
No.
So this was one of the reasons that I edged one inch closer to canceling my subscription to a podcast that I listened to. They were talking about HBO and, you know, like, oh, what's on it? You know, there's blah, blah. There was Game of Thrones, but that's gone. There was this, but that's gone. And there was Silicon Valley. Oh, my God, that was terrible. I was like, Silicon Valley, I think, remains one of my favorite series of all time. And if you work in tech, or you work in venture capital, or you work in a startup or a .com, or you have anything to do with that, or you're a web designer or an application developer, you've got to watch that show because it is so freaking accurate and hilarious. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it probably is. I just am not, it's just one service that I'm just not going to pay for, though. That's all. I don't subscribe to all the services.
My girlfriend has HBO. I have Disney Plus and Amazon Prime. I guess she probably has Amazon Prime too. I'm thinking neither of us has Netflix at this point. And we're like,
yeah,
we're okay with that. You know, sometimes stuff comes up and we're like, we're on Netflix. Oh, well.
The only reason we have Netflix, and I have to admit, I enjoy all the food-based stuff on Netflix, but the only reason we actually have Netflix right now is because they have a lot of Korean stuff, and my wife watches the Korean stuff.
Okay.
If it wasn't for that, we probably would not have it. But that's the only place to get the best Korean stuff with the best subtitles and all that.
Got it.
Sometimes Hulu has it, but they screw it royally, and then they decide that they're going to do voiceovers and sub. They're going to do dubs instead of subs, and it's just no good. So, anyway, other than that, yeah, Netflix is kind of a tosser at this point. It's a tosser, Peter.
Toss it. Yeah, I don't know.
But I the Sam Altmans of the world, the thing about these guys, compared to Elon Musk, he's probably great. But compared to somebody who is actually as open and transparent as he says he is, I don't think he's that great. That's the problem, is these guys all get to where they have to protect their power, they have to protect their image. And like, for example, they refuse to disclose what kind of data they trained GPT-4 on.
Okay, but compared to Elon Musk, Lex Luthor is great.
Right, but we didn't know that. Like, 2 years ago, how many people actually realized how bad Elon Musk really is?
Right. Hey, dude, not proud, driving a Tesla.
Right. So 2 years from now, we could find out that while Elon Musk is Satan, then this guy could be the Antichrist or something.
But that's what I'm saying, is that at this point, like, you know, we should be looking now, like, okay, what are the signs? Because I thought, you know, up in front of Congress, I thought he was all right, you know, but again, maybe I'm comparing him to Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg.
Right, but you got to listen to what they're actually saying, too. The reason they're asking for regulation is because if they ask for it now voluntarily, they can help steer how that regulation looks. The other thing is, he specifically said the technology that we have now does not need to be regulated because it's not as dangerous as the stuff that's coming in the future. But it's way more likely, assuming they do their jobs correctly, what we have right now is way more likely to lead people astray.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So they're specifically, they're creeping along going, yeah, but don't do it now. Don't do it to this stuff. But in the future, you really got to regulate us.
But, you know, I'm torn on that because I would rather have somebody, you know, I would like some kind of representation, which I would think they already have in Congress there. Okay, what I don't want is another series of tubes, right?
Yeah.
That I don't
want.
For
sure.
Right? So that much I don't want.
I think there are people that are getting smarter as time goes on. There's always been people like Wyden who knows what he's talking about with technology. But I also think that if these old dinosaurs start dying, and hopefully they will, and younger people come in, there's going to be way more younger people that already understand the technology. And surely some of these people's aides must know some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll get better from that regard. I think what you're more worried about in terms of Congress is, A, political division. Can you actually get anything done? And B, do they actually care? Because right now we're in a world where the Republicans want to ban everything that doesn't look like them. And the Democrats are so lazy and careless, they just don't seem to understand that we've got serious problems on our hands.
I hard-pressed to disagree with you on that one.
So, I don't know. I think all of these guys who are helping to, quote, shape the world and change the future, very monoculture. And that alone is a problem. That alone is a problem for minorities. It's a problem for women. It's a problem for anybody that doesn't look exactly like those guys. It's also a problem for people that don't have the kind of money those guys do. Because when they start talking about how AI would be great to help underprivileged children learn, instead of fixing and funding the existing public school structure, you're saying that the rich people are going to get real human tutors and everybody else is going to have to rely on some chatbot. That's insanity. That's not a good world to live in. That is dystopia. But somehow that is being touted as something that's not only possible, but probably good. And it's just crazy to me. It's going to be very stratified.
Well, I was hoping to close this on a high note, but
hey, it doesn't mean we should get all depressed about it. I just think that you have to listen to the critics. This is why I bring up the Emily Benders of the world, because people like that who are super smart, but they also are not hesitant whatsoever to point out the emperor is wearing the king has no clothes or whatever the thing is. You have to listen to them because they're willing to point out when these guys are doing stuff that's advantageous to them, and they are. Like, OpenAI supposedly started out as a super transparent, super open, but it's not that way anymore. It's not that way at all.
I have a high note to end the podcast on.
Okay, end it.
Speaking of tech luminaries and all their bullshit and stuff, Elizabeth Holmes is heading to prison.
Yes.
For a mere 11 years.
I have a question for you.
Hmm.
Do you think that Elizabeth Holmes is anti... What is it when you have no empathy for other human beings?
Psychopathy or sociopathy. Sociopathy. Yeah. Sociopath or a psychopath.
Is she a sociopath or is she just a big fat liar?
I think okay, not a doctor, don't play one on the internet, but on this podcast, I think she's, yeah, could make a case. I would bet at least a beer that she's a sociopath.
That whole thing is a crazy story. Like, even if she was as nutty as she appears to be, why did she get involved with that guy who was the CEO or whatever he was? It just is weird. The whole thing is just weird. You're just like, these people are freaking nuts.
They are just freaking nuts.
If you like a good yarn about a bunch of crazies getting a lot of money from a lot of gullible people, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I watched the documentary on that a while ago, a year or two ago or two, and that was entertaining. But anyway, so rarely, occasionally, and every now and then, the bad guys get what they deserve. So there you go. Okay, on that note.
The rest of the time, the good guys get what the bad guys deserve.
Exactly. And on that note, I need a freaking nap. So okay. If you want to find us, you can find us at friendswithbrews.com. But this is what happens when you drink a 7.3%.
Hey, let's not tell them about anything else. Just go to friendswithbrews.com. And the reason why is because I just updated it. The colors look better, but the header looks a lot better.
You didn't want to tell them anything else, so you could just tell them everything? Is that what, I mean, it's, geez.
Yeah, go to friendswithbrews.com. It looks great now. It's got a responsive menu now.
Ooh.
But you'll find us. Go to the follow page. That has our Mastodon account. Go to the friends. That has our links to ourselves. And it's great. Just do that.
Sounds good. Big red button.
Big red button.
Is that a drum roll?
That's a drum roll for the bonus episode. We're tacking this on to the end of episode 37. And the reason why we decided to come back slightly after we already pushed the button, you know why?
Because WWC is next week.
Yeah, but I got questions that need answering.
I got questions that need answering, Peter, regarding what your expectations are, what you want, why you're standing there trying to look all sexy in your underwear.
Okay, so first off, I'm not trying. Yes, I am in my underwear.
You're not trying.
Under the clothes that I'm wearing.
Humble brag. I don't try. I just look this way.
I woke up like this, complete with the glasses and everything. I fell asleep reading a book and woke up with my glasses on. Yeah.
Well, it's important to be able to see your dreams clearly, so I'm glad you wear your glasses to bed.
Right, but first, let's talk about the brews.
Yeah, let's talk about the brews.
Yeah, I have.
Let me guess. Wait, let me guess. Just based on the can, I'm going to say that's a different one from Brooklyn Brewery.
You are correct, sir.
Uh-huh.
It is the Brooklyn Brewery Non-Alcoholic Special Effects Pills.
Ooh, special effects. And don't let anyone ever say this podcast doesn't have special effects. Nice. Your MacBook took one for the team. It sprayed towards the computer. I saw that.
They may be low-budget, cheapo special effects, but we have special effects.
They're non-alcoholic. Okay, I'm going to have something that I already just had in episode 35. I'm having another can of the Monkless Belgian Ales Schepplekoffegan.
Okay.
So
I almost grabbed the Brooklyn Brewery Hoppy Amber, but I realized I already had one. I had that last time. I was like, nope, we got to do it different.
See, I don't feel that guilty about it because this is a tack-on to an existing episode, but here we go.
Well, that would have made sense. Let me recan this and go down and grab a different.
Yeah, that's great. Sure.
Now, dear listener, if you think that, but wow, Peter's drinking a non-alcoholic beer, but he sounds like he's had a beer, it's because I had, because just about half an hour ago, before Scott messaged me, I had a Jack's Abbey Copper Ooh. Legend, which is their Oktoberfest, which I have Ooh. Had down in the cellar since last year.
Oh,
so
that was enjoyable. Well, you know what? I'm glad you had that not on the podcast, but just by, you probably enjoyed it more. You probably savored it. You probably thought, my God, I'm living.
I'm premedicated. So yeah. Cheers, okay. Buddy.
Cheers. Cheers to you, my friend. All right,
cheers
let's
to
talk.
You, listener.
I think you and I are both in agreement that there's not a whole lot we want out of this WWDC personally.
I honestly, the only research, quote unquote, that I've done on this so far was listening to the latest episode of Accidental Tech Podcast.
I thought you were going to say the only research you've done is checking to see which year it was so that you would know that it was WWDC 2023.
All right. Well, I am Safari helpfully fills in. I type in WWDC space 2023 and it auto completes rumors for me. So I'm going to go there and we're going to go to macrumors.com.
Oh, yes.
June 5th. Here are the Mac rumors overview. Okay, overview. It is on June 5th. We will have a keynote. I should, let me just look at my calendar right now. When is that?
Yep. That's next Monday.
It's a Monday.
Yeah, I have a countdown widget on my phone telling me that it's 5 days from now. So
okay, what is it, like noon our time or nine your time, noon my time?
It's probably 10 o'clock my time. It might be nine, might be 10. I'm not sure, to be honest.
So that'd be what like time 1 the
keynote is.
My
keynote
time.
Is 10 o'clock my time.
Right, 1 o'clock my time. So I'm gonna put that in there and just say WWDC.
Yeah, just put it in your work calendar and say busy with a client or something. Just make something up. Don't say WWDC.
Well, I'm putting it in my personal calendar. Mm. And then I'll just block it off in my work calendar. Mm-hmm. Of course, my coworkers know I listen. Okay, so what are we supposed to hear? Big rumor, AR, VR headset.
Right, we know that.
I literally could not care less.
I think I care for the long term. I don't care right now, but I think what I do care about is that Apple actually... What?
I'm living in the moment, and I don't care right now.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is I do hope that whatever it is, I hope that they do it right. I hope it's good, and I hope it has a reason to exist. Beyond that, I don't care right now. But in the future, someday, I like glasses that have AR, VR capability? Yeah. Well, you know what I've wanted at work forever? What I've wanted at work forever is heads-up display to tell me which equipment's down, heads-up display to give me diagrams or the inside view of equipment, stuff like that. I've wanted that at work forever.
I just had the most amazing thought about heads-up display AR, VR stuff.
Oh, no.
Back in my Krav Maga days, doing shark bait attacks when you get attacked by four people, allowing it to, like, prioritize who you should attack, what their weaknesses are. Strike this guy first in the knee, uppercut that one over there. This one's going to run away, you know? That would be so awesome.
It could be a bit distracting, too. You would have to definitely practice in that mode.
You'd have to practice. Oh, like anything. I mean, right. Getting attacked by four guys is also distracting.
It can be, yeah. It would be nice to see what's happening behind you, for example. I hear dogs.
Those are the neighbor's dogs they're visiting. They feel very angry at me for not including them on the podcast.
I feel like your neighbor's dogs are always with you now. I think that neighbor's never coming back, Peter.
She has come back. They went back for a day. They came back again. And we have one different dog. So we have one of the Bichon Frise and also the little terrier mutt as well. Anyway, my girlfriend she loves one of these dogs to death. We had two of them over for most of the day. The boy decided he wanted to go home, but the girl was invited to stay. And then I got there, and the other boy, who's not part of them, he's the third wheel, he just got back from the vet, and he was high on meds to calm him down. And so he's still kind of like just wobbly. I'm like, I'll take him too. So they're downstairs, which is another reason we have to do a short episode, because they can't be left alone for a while.
Okay, all right. So in addition to the headset that we both don't care about, so let's move on. I kind of am interested in what the watchOS updates are going to bring, because I'm a heavy watch user. However...
Oh, I'm not wearing it now because it's on the charger, but my watch is also heavy.
Yeah, your watch is heavier than mine, I would wager. iPad, I don't care anymore. iOS, I don't care anymore except for bug fixes. Honestly, if the only thing that happens on the iPhone is that CarPlay starts actually reading my messages out loud again like it used to, instead of just showing me the completion spinner in complete silence, and then I would be happy with that. That's all I want. I don't care if they introduce any other features whatsoever. Just fix my freaking CarPlay audio. Everything works except for when it goes to read anything Siri related. The Siri voice just doesn't come out of the speakers anymore. It's not a volume thing. I've already adjusted it.
Yeah. Bug fixes. That's all I want. I just want bug fixes. That's all I'm going for so far. But anyway.
Well, on the Mac, I would like them to clean up Notification Center, get rid of all that nonsense. Because on the Mac, you get all these dumb notifications that never go away until you go and look at them. And they're from 20 days ago. Even if you clear them on iOS, yes. They stay on the Mac.
Yes.
And they're useless. They just pile up. And yes. I would like them to fix the widgets on the Mac, because I don't like how every time a new version of Drafts comes out, my Drafts widget just goes away. It just disappears. And I have to re-add it and reconfigure it. It's just annoying. The widgets on the Mac are a total disaster. They should either make them work and make them usable or just get rid of them. But yeah, so bug fixes primarily. That's it. That's really all I want out of life is bug fixes. I can't think of anything that I want for new features at all.
Yeah, just make everything better. That's all.
make it work.
Make it work. Make it work and make it work better.
But what about the watch? Do you have any ideas for how you would like to use your action button better, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, the action button, the only I have it set right now to just like use the stopwatch because out of all of the useless functions that you can set the action button to do, that was the least useless.
Right. It's their best bad idea.
Yeah, it's the best bad idea.
That works.
So, yeah, so I don't know what I'm supposed to, like, I don't want to start a workout with that because I occasionally hit the action button by accident.
Tim Nahumek, who you may or may not remember, was somebody that Ronnie and I used to talk about on Pocket Size Podcast. Tim Nahumek wrote a shortcut that he assigned to his action button. And what that shortcut does is pop up a menu of several actions that he likes to take all the time. He can message his wife. He can start a workout. He can do all these different things right from that one thing. So basically, it launches a shortcut that has a submenu, and it has like five things that he can just choose very quickly. And it's faster than getting him to him any other way.
I did not realize that you could assign a shortcut to... Oh, look at that. A shortcut.
Yeah, see?
Huh.
See?
Okay. Is that new? Has that always been there?
I think it's always been there.
I never noticed that.
Anyway, I'll put a link in the notes for Tim Nahumek's shortcut.
Oh, well, now that I know that a shortcut's an option, geez.
Right.
That's way cooler. Of course, now that I'm going to do that, I've already pretty much, like, you know, gotten used to using it to start the stopwatch. But I might, out of all of the shortcuts that I have available to me on the watch right now, you know, from the list that pops up when I say I want to assign a shortcut.
Yeah.
Overcast Seek Forward is probably slightly more useful. When I'm listening to Overcast, I can just like click it to fast forward for those times when I don't want to do it on my AirPods. So where were we? That was watchOS.
Yeah, but that was everything.
Oh, we covered iOS. We were like, we're good.
Well, I did. I said I don't care. I just want my CarPlay voice back.
Right. Oh, okay. I didn't think of that as iOS. I thought of that as CarPlay OS or something.
No, it's on the phone. What about you? What do you want from any of those?
Like I said, bug fixes. As Marco was saying, his ideas on the watch face and the when you push the button, not the action button, but the other button, the crown. When you push the crown in, you get the tiny little, you know, like 1,000 stars view of things.
See, I don't get that because I have them arranged in a list, an alphabetical list,
which is too long.
You can scroll super fast, though.
It's too long. It is not an efficient way to find apps. So I'm with Marco on that.
It's in alphabetical order. It's the only way I can find
it. I understand that. But it takes too long to... It's unwieldy. All right. And the other option is I used to arrange the other view constantly.
Right.
And I would be like... I would have like all of my health apps clustered here and all my financial apps clustered here. My communications and productivity apps clustered here. And then I would like install an app or uninstall an app and the whole thing would get messed up and stuff. So I stopped doing that. I switched to the list. It's unwieldy to say the best.
It's like on the iPhone. I was so happy when they... What is that thing called?
App library.
Yeah, the app library. The app library was a lifesaver because I don't want to manage my apps. Every time I install an app, I don't want it to ruin whatever setup I already have. So I don't have apps show up on my home screen. They only show up in my app library. And then my home screen stays the way I put it, and it never changes, and I like that. If you're going to use the weird cloud view for apps on the watch, I wish they would do something like that, where you can say, here's my arrangement, and anything else I install... I have to find it a different way, because chances are most of the time you're going to want a very specific subset of apps. And then for the times that you really want this other app that you hardly ever use, you can go find it in a list or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
There has to be a better way, because that app cloud, it's too slow. It relies on pattern recognition. I have to remember the app icon. It has to trigger in the brain. Is it where I thought it would be? No, it's not. I tapped something else because I thought it was going to be in a certain position. Now I'm in a different app. Forget it. It just kills me.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
Okay. So there's that.
So I'd like that to be better. You know, anything else? iOS? Gee, would that be where they fix Bluetooth issues?
Oh my God, Peter. I was walking to the Max train station and my friend Adam called to see if I was there because he was driving over there to meet me so we could hop on the same Max and go into Portland. And I said, hold on. I answered the phone. I said, hang on. I got to put my earbuds in. I put my earbuds in. I switch it to the AirPods. I start talking to him. And then 10 seconds later, it switches back to speaker. I switch it back to AirPods. 10 seconds later, it was like on a clock. It would let me talk to him on the AirPods for so long, and then it would stop. Fourth time, I said, forget it. I put the AirPods away, and I held the phone to my ear like an animal, like a caveman walking along on the street with my phone up at my ear. And I just was mad. I was just freaking angry. I was cursing Apple like no tomorrow. And he pulls up next to me after I got to the train thing. And he goes, so Apple's total shit, huh? And I'm like, yep, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
But it's only with the phone. I don't have a whole lot of, I have a few minor ones, but I don't have a whole lot of major AirPod problems with anything but the phone, on the phone. But whenever I try to use the phone, it's just like, nope, you're not using these AirPods, not today. Even if you already have them in, it decides you're not going to use them, as you well know.
Nope. Not today, Santa.
Not today, Santa. Yeah, they really need to fix that, because I think Bluetooth is entering its 88th year of existence or something like that, and Apple still hasn't figured out how to make it work.
It's more than the 8th year, but probably less than the 80th. But probably less than the 80th.
So, right, yeah. Right. Okay, what else? Anything else? Nothing?
That's it. I mean, battery life would be nice. They were talking, when the ATP crowd was talking, you know, about the battery life on the headset, you know, about how, like, they would, you know, we're not going to make it super heavy. We should, you know, I think, like, a battery pack that hooks on your hip is better. Like, no, John, what are you thinking? They're going to follow in the footsteps of the iPhone and the Apple Watch, and they're going to give you 18 minutes of battery life. With a minuscule battery that stays on your forehead. No. That's what's going to happen.
No. The rumors are already very clear about the battery pack.
You don't think so?
No, the battery pack is happening for sure.
Okay, fine. I was sure they were going to follow the 18 rule and just go with 18 minutes.
No, actually, I never run out of battery on any of my Apple devices anymore. I am very happy with battery life on my current watch, very happy with battery life on my current phone, and I don't even have a giant phone. I'm very happy with battery life. Even on my Mac is great. In fact, usually I have too much battery on my Mac. I'm always lamenting the fact that it's always charging to 100% when it's plugged in, which is not supposed to do. It's supposed to regulate so that it's not constantly charging to 100% so that it doesn't wear out the battery. But for some reason, my Mac does not do that. And people keep telling me, oh, yes, it does. And I'm looking at my charge indicator and it doesn't do that. I don't care what those people who don't own my Mac say about my Mac. It does do that.
Do they now?
Yeah, do they? Yeah, do they now? So anyway, no, I'm super happy with battery right now. I don't run out of battery on stuff anymore.
I don't either now that I have an Ultra. I mean, what happens is every now and then I forget, you know, like it's been a day or two that I've charged and I look like, oh, I'm down to 30%. Okay.
My wife and daughter, they don't have Ultras. They've got regular watches, but even with both their phones and their watches, they'll be like, get up in the morning and then they'll be like, oh, I'm out of battery. And I'm like, why don't you just charge it at night? I don't understand why you do this to yourself. And those are just regular devices. I could absolutely see that happening with an Ultra because you don't have to charge it so often. So I could totally see missing it when it... Now, I wonder if it would help if you just had the battery widget showing on your Mac, showing on your iPhone. Always have a battery widget that shows you, and it'll show you your watch's battery level. Would that be a reminder?
So I deliberately turned off the battery percentage indicator on everything. I still have... Yeah, I have had the indicator on time to time, but I generally go for less is more in this case because it's one less thing for me to, like, I drive an electric car, so I already have range anxiety. I don't need to have more battery anxiety than I, you know, than I already do. So I generally let that go.
I've heard about your range performance anxiety.
That's distance anxiety. That's totally different.
There we go. That's all my beer.
Ah.
Okay, well, I think that's about it. I think, honestly, I don't even know if this is worth recording, because basically we could have summed it up in, please fix your gosh darn bugs, Apple.
Yeah, but we had a chance to drink an almost beer.
Yeah. I got to see you in the Boston summer, such as it
Woo-hoo!
Is. Yay!
Yes, it's so much fun. And now I'm going to go downstairs and just crash on the couch for a while.
Go kiss some fuzzy faces first and then go crash on the couch.
Yeah, I think they'll do most of the kissing. I'll just go like, oh, God. So, anyway, there you go.
Cool. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. What do I have to play that would be a good...
Where everybody knows your name.
We're done, remember? This is what we agreed to. The last step. We stick with the plan. We leave.